Hello, I'm John DeBerry Jr., and I thank God so much for the privilege and opportunity to be part of this great men's lectureship and have the occasion here to speak to you and hopefully say something that will edify you and build you up and strengthen you in the most holy faith. It is always our intention as teachers, as ministers, as leaders in the Lord's church that God be glorified, that His name be lifted up, Jesus, who promised us, if I be lifted up from the earth, I will draw all men unto me. So in a time when men most certainly need to understand what God wants from them and what God desires from them, and not only that, what God demands from each and every one of us as His men in the Lord's church, this is a good time for us to talk about those things, talk about our nation, talk about those needs that are in our nation for each and every one of us who love the Lord, who believe in the Word of God, to stand firm, as the Apostle Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verses 58, as every one of you can quote, where Paul commanded and demanded and exhorted us to be steadfast and unmovable. This is a time where men are waffling. They are compromising, capitulating. They are walking away from those things that we once held dear, those things that we believed would never change in America, are changing so fast that the very culture, if you please, and heritage and history of our nation is being questioned, even those things that we stood on when we proclaim for the world to know in God we trust. In this year when we will be electing local and state and federal officials, we will elect a chief executive for our nation. This is a year that the election is not just about what happens during the pandemic or what happens because of the tornadoes and the various issues, but this election and this time in our history will make a determination as to who we will be for generations to come. And as we watch the changing of the mindset, as the Spirit spoke expressly, as Paul said to Timothy, who he had left at Ephesus, that in latter days some shall depart from the faith. And what we see today are those who have departed from the biblical standard of ethics. They have departed from the biblical standard of morality. And they have departed from those things that led our leaders for so many generations in the growth and prosperity of this nation. When I think about this, I cannot help but think about what Solomon said one time in the book of Proverbs chapter 14 and in verses 34. Solomon, who was the laboratory of human experience because of all that God had given him, Solomon said, righteousness exalted a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. And I can't think of anything better to talk about on the Mountain Empire Men's Fellowship other than for us to remember that God is on the throne and America must return to God, return to our faith, and return to righteousness. In essence, we've got to put God back in control. I remember one time when the prophet, he stood before God, and more or less he's mourning, and he is in regret, and he is hurt to his heart, because the people had said, give us a king so that we may be just like other nations, if you don't mind me paraphrasing. God said to the prophet at that particular time something that reigns true even to this day. He told the prophet, they have not rejected you, they have rejected me. And what we see in our nation today, it's not a rejection of those of us who simply stand for what is right and what is written in the Bible. It is a rejection of God Himself. It is a rejection of everything that God has commanded for us to do. And righteousness in many parts and in many various demographics and segments in our nation, righteousness has been abandoned, and men and women have done what they choose to do, regardless of what the scriptures say. There is another scripture that I want to bring to your attention about Israel. Once Joshua had died, Joshua, who had stood there near death before the people and gave them commandments that they would have to follow in the days to come. Joshua said, "If it seem evil for you to serve the Lord, choose you this day," he said, "who you will serve." In essence, Joshua is saying to the people, choose sides. The problem with a lot of us men is we haven't chosen sides yet. We're still waffling on the fence between the right and the left and all of these different mindsets. We haven't chosen sides yet. And because of this, then you get to what Joshua said before, what was said after and during that particular time. And that was, in those days, there was no king in Israel, and every man did what was right in his own eyes. Joshua had led them, commanded them to teach their children, and instead they did what was right in their own eyes. In the book of Romans chapter 13 and verses 1, the Apostle Paul gives us some good advice when it comes to a nation, to choosing its leaders, and understanding that God is always in control and God is always cognizant of what we do. Paul told them, "Let every soul be subject to the higher powers." Why, Paul? "For there is no power but of God, the powers ordained of God." In essence, God knows the beginning and the end of every nation. When we look around the world, if we go to Greece, we can see that there was once a great empire there, but what we see now are ruins. We can go to Rome and we can look at the Colosseum and much of the architecture, the aqueducts, and we can see that there was once a great empire there that ruled the world, but now there are ruins. We can go to Babylon, we can go to Persia, we can go to various places where the Aztecs were in control at one time. And we can see ruins of nations that at one time were rich, powerful, prosperous, who ruled the world and everything they surveyed. But all of them at this time, as far as those ancient nations are concerned, are ruins. Why? Because they fell. Why did they fall? Jesus said something before Abraham Lincoln said it a long time ago. Jesus warned and exhorted and taught and rebuked and reproved and called us to consciousness by saying, "A nation divided against," or "a house divided against itself cannot stand." When we look at America today, you see a house divided. And I can remember as a boy and the discussions at the time of the Cold War and Khrushchev, who would often stand off with a young John Kennedy back at that particular time, who made a statement that, "I will destroy America," because what he said they were going to do, they would destroy America without firing a shot. What in the world did he mean by that? How are you going to take a nation as great as America that has such a great military, that has such great resources, that has such committed people to its existence? How do you destroy something like that? You destroy it from within. You make folks within fight each other. You make those who are black fight those who are white, fight those who are red, fight those who are yellow. You make them fight each other, the rich and the poor, the academically acclaimed and those who are uneducated. You take every segment, every demographic, male, female. You even go to the simple things that we thought nobody could be mixed up on, like gender, and you make them fight those battles and you destroy them from within. We must understand something. Peter said to God's people in the book of 1 Peter chapter 2 and verses 13, Peter said, submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake. In essence, what Peter is saying to them is because you are God's people, because you show the difference between the holy and the profane, because you are the ones to shine in the darkness of ignorance and hatred and prejudice and you're the ones who show that God's word changes people. And when we fail to do this, then we allow our adversary to destroy us from the inside. In the book of 1 Peter chapter 5 and verses 8, Peter said a long time ago, Peter said to God's people, be sober, be sober, be vigilant. Why, Peter? Because your adversary, your opponent, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. As I have been asked to talk about this, and the fact that as we choose our leaders, as we talk about this nation, many of us are afraid to talk about those problems that are so glaring around us today. A nation is a body of people united by a common descent, a common history, culture, language, religion. They inhabit a particular boundary, a territory with borders around it. When you stop looking at these things, when you cease to respect your government and your boundaries and your history and your character, regardless of your faults, your failures, your flaws, there's never been a perfect nation, but America invented democracy in the way in which we did, along with the middle class and many of the other things that go into what we affectionately call the American dream. Are we perfect? Most certainly not. And right now, we're becoming less perfect each and every day as government itself becomes corrupt, self-serving, twisting the laws and statutes of God, which our laws and statutes of the land were based on. When we walk away from God, when we walk away from God's law, we are walking away from those things that made us a prosperous nation in the first place. Perverted government is oppressive without morals, and it is something that pulls us away from God. And what we see now is the most spiritually illiterate generation in our history, the most historically illiterate generation in our history. The children don't know who Jesus is. They don't even know who George Washington is, because we have allowed those in our systems of education to uneducate them about America, to teach them to hate their country, not love their country. In the book of Revelation chapter 1 and verses 9, when John is on the island of Patmos, placed there not because he had insurrection, not because he had tried to assassinate Caesar, or not because he was trying to destroy Rome, but because he preached the gospel. He upheld the cross of Christ, and he told men about the liberty that had been sent from God for all mankind. John wrote in Revelation chapter 1 and verses 9, I, John, who am your brother and companion in tribulation, in the kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ, was in the isle or the island of Patmos. Notice why he was there. For the word of God and for the testimony of Christ. We are in a time when those who believe the word of God are persecuted. Those who believe that God is still alive are called ignorant. Those who uphold the Bible, which is called an old relic, an old Bronze Age book that has no relevance today. Those of us who believe these things, we're called ignorant and told that we're on the wrong side of history. This is a time when God's looking for a man to stand in the gap. God's looking at a man for men who will stand up like Joshua said, "As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." That's what the Lord is looking for. And as we talk to the men of the church, we all have to take an introspective examination of ourselves. And we've got to ask ourselves, have we been standing in the gap? Have we been shining the light? Have we been steadfast and unmovable? Have we been faithful soldiers of Christ? Have we warred a good warfare? Have we proved all things and held fast to that which is good? We've got to ask ourselves in a time when everything around us seems to be disintegrating because folks have walked away from their morality, their standards, their culture, their history. I remember as a boy at Dunn Avenue School for the first time in 1956 in Miss Rowley's class. I remember saying the Pledge of Allegiance for the first time as a young boy standing beside my desk. And I remember her telling us to put our hand over our heart, and she taught us the Pledge of Allegiance. I remember that once we had done that, that she led a prayer, and then she called on the boys in the room. From that day forward, you need to learn how to pray because you never knew which boy she was going to call on to pray when she started her class off that morning. And don't you realize we have children now who have never said the Pledge of Allegiance, who have never prayed in school, who have never heard a scripture read by the teacher, who have never had a discussion about God. They can talk about other deities. They can talk about other missionaries that claim they have been sent to earth. They can talk about exotic religions, but they can't talk about Christianity. And during all this time, we, as the men in the Lord's church, as the men in this nation, remind me of what the Lord said one time in his parabolic teaching. Jesus, in teaching, said, while men slept, an enemy sowed tares. How many tares have our enemy sown among our children, sown in our education system, sown in our politics, sown in our economic system? How many tares do we see growing up now and revealing themselves as our cities burn, as our people fight each other, as hatred, envy reigns supreme across the land from sea to sea? It's a time for us to begin to look and ask ourselves a question and look back at what Solomon said when Solomon said, righteousness exalted a nation. Have we become a righteous nation, or more righteous, or have we become an unrighteous nation? We brag about our military. We do. We have the best Air Force, the Army, the Marine Corps, the Coast Guard, the Navy. Now we even have a Space Force. We've got all of these, the Army, if I didn't mention them, we've got all of these various military organizations. We've got all type of hardware and munitions. So we've got all of this stuff to fight with. Have we lost what we fight for? Has America lost its very heart, its very soul? And is the only thing we're concerned about now are the materialistic, worldly things that are temporary and most certainly not everlasting. Brethren, it is time for us to understand that God is calling us to account. In the book of Proverbs chapter 29 and verses 2, Solomon also said, when the righteous are in authority, the people rejoice. But when the wicked bear it rule, the people mourn. Because of wickedness that is ruling in various places across this nation, people mourn. They mourn as they see the desecration of marriage. They mourn as they see the erosion of the authority of parents. They mourn as they see the simple things. When God created the world, called a man Adam and a woman Eve, and Adam was given the ability to speak in prophecy. When he looked upon God's wonderful creation, when God had opened his side and from his side he took a rib, and from that rib he made the woman and placed her at his side, indicating she's neither his master nor his slave. And Adam looked upon this beautiful thing that God had made, and Adam says, now she is bones of my bones. She is flesh of my flesh. She shall be called Isha, because she was taken out of Ish. And then Adam was given the ability to be the first prophet. He was given that profound right from God to be the first prophet. Adam said, therefore shall a man leave father and mother and cleave to his wife, and they twain shall be one flesh. God instituted marriage, not the government. God instituted marriage, not the Supreme Court. God instituted marriage, not the President or the Congress or the Senate or any of the legislatures or judiciaries across this nation. God did it. And what we see happening is the undoing of everything that God did, as men and women are losing their righteousness and destroying the nation. In the book of Isaiah chapter 9 and in verses 16, here is what Isaiah said, looking at this issue. He said, for the leaders of this people cause them to err, and they that are led by them are destroyed. That word err in that context comes from a word which means to wander, to go astray, to lose your way. And what do we see now? We see those who have lost their way. Jeremiah, the weeping prophet, said one time as he looked upon God's people, he said, Were they ashamed when they committed abomination? Jeremiah said, no, they were not ashamed. Neither did they blush. Are we becoming a nation that has lost the ability to blush? Our children have grown up on a constant diet of profanity and nudity and corruption and perversion and false doctrines and false moralities and false ethics and false ways. Have we lost our ability to blush? You can't even watch television without them pushing their agenda off on us and our children. As men, why have we not lifted up our voice? Why have we said that's enough? Why have we not said we're not taking it anymore? Why have we not said to the advertisers and those individuals who support this perversion that we won't buy your products anymore? If some theme park says that they are not going to support a state that refuses to vote against life and vote against God's word, then tell them, then I won't be coming to your place. I won't be coming to your theme park. I won't be coming to your movie. I won't buy your product, your clothing. I will never use your brand again. I guarantee you, Christian men, there are more of us than there are of them. And it's time for those of us who have been silent. As the old adage goes, the only thing that it takes for evil to prevail is for good men to do nothing. We've done nothing long enough. And it's time for us to stand. In the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 9, verses 17 and verses 18, Solomon wrote in that beautiful book of wisdom, he said, "The words of a wise man are heard in quite more than the cry of him that ruleth among fools." He said, "Wisdom is better. Wisdom is better than weapons of war, but one sinner destroyeth much good." Lord, have mercy. How much good has been destroyed because we have put sinners in office? How much good has been destroyed because we put sinners on the bench? How much good has been destroyed because we have put sinners in rule? In the book of Proverbs, chapter 29 and verses 12, Solomon said, "If a ruler hearkens to lies, all of his servants are wicked." How prophetic Solomon was when he said this, because when we look all around us, we see the wickedness that is prevailing in America. America, it's time to return to righteousness. And remember something. In this war, as I said earlier in 1 Peter 5 and verses 8, when we are in the midst of war with an adversary, his name is the devil. We are at war. Deception, delusions, and lies are being perpetuated by the popular media. When you turn to the majority of the news networks, they don't give news anymore. They give opinion. Opinion. They tell you what you're supposed to think. And if you think differently, there's something wrong with you. You're the bigot. You are prejudiced. If you dare to stand on the biblical standard of ethics, if you dare to say that marriage is between a man and a woman, if you dare to say that children are God's heritage and he made the parents the stewards, if you dare to say that a child is alive within the womb of his mother, ought to be the safest place on earth for a child, the womb of his mother. If you dare to say so, then there is something wrong with you in this nation. So what the modern media is doing right now is distorting the truth, diverting you away from God's word, detaching you from those things that we used to hold dear, demoralizing, disorienting, distracting, discouraging, and destroying this nation from within. This is what's happening. Jesus said a long time ago, "You shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free." If America is going to be set free, if America is going to return to righteousness, it has to return to the truth. Break the enslavement of lies where they tell you God is dead, or God is mean and wrong, or God takes pleasure in the destruction of the wicked, when God has clearly said that he's not willing that any should perish, that God is prejudiced and unjust when they tell us and order us legally tell us, stop claiming that there is a biblical standard of ethics and morality, and that's the only standard. Stop espousing the scripture as the accurate account of man's origin. We're still searching for that in outer space and in the bottom of the ocean. Stop opposing alternative lifestyles based on the writings of the Bible only. The Bible is not the authority, they say. Stop defending your traditional views of marriage based on your teachings of the scriptures only. Don't you understand that there are men and women with prefixes and suffixes on their name who know more than the Bible? Stop denying your children access to alternative lifestyles, gender expressions, family structures, perpetuating your exclusive beliefs. In other words, they've told us stop being Christians, stop believing in the Bible, stop teaching God's word, stop preaching the word of God without addition or subtraction, stop living as Christ gave us an example, who knew no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth. They have commanded us and have placed it into statute that we are to cease and desist from being Christians. I want to leave you with something this evening, brothers and sisters. You have been told in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verses 16, I told you Paul left Titus at Crete. He left Timothy at Ephesus. And what he said to Timothy, but shun profane and vain babbling, for they will increase unto more ungodliness. The profane and vain babbling that we've heard come from our politicians and many of our so-called theologians, from our academians, from our medical profession that says a child with a heartbeat and brain activity is not a human being. Lord have mercy, what blasphemy that a human male and a human female are together as God by the law of procreation, and they make something that is not human. It is time for us as men to rise up and say, that's enough in the midst of genocide. That's enough in the midst of blasphemy. That's enough in the midst of sin and desecration of everything that God has commanded us to do. It's time for us to stand. And it's time for the world to know the difference between the holy and the profane. The Lord said something, heaven and earth shall pass away. Who knows, America may pass away. Heaven and earth may pass away. But the Lord said, my word shall not pass away. And Isaiah said something that was very interesting in the book of Isaiah chapter 33 and verses 22. He said, for the Lord is our judge. The Lord is our lawgiver. The Lord is our king. He will save us. James said in the book of James chapter 4 verses 12, there is one lawgiver who is able to save and destroy. Brothers and sisters, ladies and gentlemen, what all of us have got to do is we've got to stand where God has commanded us to stand. And men, remember what David said in Psalm 78 and 4, we will not hide them from our children, showing to the generation to come the praises of the Lord, his strength, and his wonderful works that he has done. Fight for your children, men. Fight for your children. Fight for your children. I would hate, and I pray, that if we don't stop the erosion of all that we see in love today, I don't want to see the world my grandchildren and great-grandchildren have got to grow up in, if we don't fight the good fight of faith right now, if we don't stand right now, and if we don't let the world know that we will not buckle, we will not compromise, and we will not walk away. America needs to be asked a question. All of you men, prepare yourself to ask them, what the prophet Jeremiah asked God's people in Jeremiah chapter 2 and verses 5. Jeremiah said, "The Lord said, thus saith the Lord, what iniquity have your fathers found in me that are gone far from me and have walked after vanity and become vain?" God says, what did I do? God has said, what blessings have I not given you, America? Haven't I protected you? There were wars we weren't supposed to win, but we won them. There were events that we weren't supposed to survive, but we survived them. In all of our fears and failures and flaws and flops, our faith has pulled us through. And it's time for us to return to our faith and show our Lord, our Father in heaven, that we will stand for what is right and we will not compromise. Remember this, man has homogenized, pasteurized, repackaged, and remarketed sin. The Bible tells us, as the prophet said, woe to those who call evil good and good evil. So America's telling you sin is not sin anymore. It's not wrong to kill a baby. It's not wrong to desecrate marriage. It's not wrong to belittle the Bible. It's not wrong to blaspheme the name of God. It's not wrong to be immoral. It's not wrong to be inappropriate. It's not wrong to be idolatrous and adulterous and perversive and lascivious. These things are not against the law of the land. They're simply against the law of God. So men are going to call sin accident, but God has always called sin abomination. Men are going to call sin blunder, but God has always called it blindness. Men are going to call sin chance, but God calls it choice. Men are going to call sin fascination, but God will always call it fatality. Men are going to call sin infirmity, but God calls it iniquity. Luxury, but God calls it lawlessness. Men call sin trifle, but God calls it tragedy. Men call sin, well, it's just weakness. People are sick, but God calls it wickedness. In the end, brethren, in the end, it's not what the president calls sin. It's not what the Supreme Court calls sin. It's not what Congress calls sin. It's not what the justices on the federal courts call sin. It's what God calls sin. It's time for us to return to righteousness. I leave you with this, what Solomon said a long time ago. Let's hear the conclusion. The conclusion to the whole matter. Fear God, keep His commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. It's time for America to return to God, return to righteousness, return to those things that made us a wonderful people in the first place. Thank you to the church, to the elders, and to all of you who listen.